Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Verse 28 is my emphasis. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So many people gathered together, but the best they could do was that which his hand had determined. So the sovereignty of God regulated what they could do. I hear that strange bill is still in circulation. Can we invoke the sovereignty of God? The sovereignty of God will go to work. The sovereignty of God is that which allows men gather. But because their gathering is not of him, it amounts to nothing. It amounts to no purpose. It amounts to nothing. Can we ask that bill would... can we call it dead on arrival? Dead on arrival. Maybe many of us have not... taken time to look at the content of the bill, and you will know it is not an indication of human rights at all. It is contrary to human rights. It is not in the interest of a people that are not in bondage. Can we ask that God will throw the weight of his sovereignty around and put an end to the existence of that bill before the National Assembly in the name of Jesus? As we speak, there is no vaccine that has been officially manufactured to this end. But we're already having a bill that seems to stifle human rights, and you don't have a choice to determine whether you want that vaccine or not. We, in very strong terms, we stand against such developments. If there is any bill that needs to be fast-tracked, it's the petroleum industry bill, because 86% of our gross domestic product is a function of that subsector, the function of that sector. And a bill, an enhancing bill that empowers regulators to function effectively, is the only strategic thing that should be considered at this time. And the accelerated hearing and passages that this strange bill, that most of us here do not even know its content, has received is an indication of treachery, that our leaders can actually connive and become our enemies in the process of trying to enjoy mandates that was given to them of the people. In a political system, sovereignty belongs to the people, and the people will decide to hand it out to a leader that will function as a representative. If that leader gangs up, or the group of leaders gangs up against the people, they are not on God's side. And because they are not on God's side, our prayers will be very potent in this regard. Can we ask that God will destroy that bill on arrival? Let it be destroyed. Men can gather, but at the end of the day, it's the sovereignty of God that will determine what will be established. Men can predict. At the end of the day, it is the authority of the Lord that will determine what comes to pass. The Bible says, who is he that speaketh? And they come to pass when the Lord has not spoken. So you can be in the business of speaking. As long as God is not involved, it is speaking in futility. Because the sovereignty of God is what will determine what will be, what will stand, what will prosper, what will take effect, what will see the light of actualization. Nigeria is your country. We are your people. We are the people of your interest. We are the ones you have given the greatest influence upon the face of the earth, because your people are reserved with the capacity to involve you into earthly affairs, so that your will can be done, so that your kingdom can come. We see treachery in the legislative houses. We see treachery. We see leaders conniving to stand against the will of the people that voted them into power. And so we appeal to the government that is highest, the government of the universe, the government of the heavens, that you might please you to thwart this effort of men, to thwart it, to bring it to nothing. Let their association be of no purpose, of no consequence. Let it produce nothing. Let it be a waste of man hours, because we have a God that is the one that determines actualizations and performances. Oh, we call upon you, and we use this situation in Nigeria to also address the issue, any similar issue rising up in any nation under heaven. With this conflict, this treachery locking in the legislative chamber, we discomfit it. It becomes a futile initiative. It becomes a waste of time, a waste of man hours, a waste of plenary sessions, a waste of discussions. Because by the Lord, we stop it. By the Lord, we curse it. By the Lord, we decree that it will not come to pass. I coopera mina supre melo combras kiso sabaka paila tame iskome sama sandoroske breme ke ruske tabantos kapela mina kadia branta babore musi. By the Lord, we name it futile. We name it dead on arrival. By the Lord. Masayo compres kame seli. Iko menu supe eke samatua la brahaskale. Mentole muske bramata kunte. Bramenskobe la subrika batoske. Irama maito skambreskove zamatali. Emborokos gete me ikorombela. Ode basiko breskonda. Igo selina kaske skombro ketomina. Abreskonde kepe retos kita manda. Andi robobo siko sandoya. Ibaite komplele kepe ratuske. Ambre komporosko pogobokoria mamai. Abes komperesko pre. Manti zuse la iko brante babalima. Abrais compele be sopre gabuske tamina kadiato. Embre getene sgebele kuse. Azazuse na iko. Azazuse na nabraske tomina branta babolia. Amande sekelia. Prescompe la ma. Nigeria is your possession. Africa is your possession. A clique of men will never be strong enough to manipulate the destinies that you have for nations. You that make diviners mad. You
cause men of wickedness to lack the ability to perform their enterprise. You that destroyed the dragon, come to the aid of Africa. Come to the aid of the helpless. Let the tyranny of the wicked never disappoint the power of the destinies of men.
In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. You know, the Bible says, when we look not on the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. Don't make a decision on circumstances around, because those circumstances are temporal. Don't look at the weather, because the weather is temporal. We look at the radar, because the radar points to the true direction. When we check the figures of the infection so far and the way the spikes are rising, you might be tempted to think that is the sum total of the effect of our prayers. But beyond the spikes, beyond the graphs, beyond the figures, hallelujah, those that are alive in the spirit know that thing that is called coronavirus, its representation in the spirit has been cut off. But we are seeing the graph rise. Why we look not on the things that are seen? Because the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are seen are temporal. A man of faith does not check the circumstances. I was trying to make it to the bank and I saw there was commotion. And I was wondering. Then I realized I had not listened to the news that someone has been infected. They have found a case in this city. And there was commotion in the bank. And the security operative said, if I don't have a mask, I can't enter. I said, okay. Where are the masks here? Then a lady came with masks that she was selling. She saw me. Hey, pastor! He said, no, I can't sell to you. So I now put on the mask. I was allowed to enter. But I left there with a body. Because the people wearing masks, all those people wearing masks, at least I know a little about the kind of mask that can really protect against the virus. All the things we were wearing there was just for a false sense of security. No mask there was a standard mask. People are afraid of what they don't know. Why we look not on the things that are seen? For the things that are seen are temporal. Those figures you are seeing on the graph, that's not the real position of the journey against COVID. If you want to find the real testimony, it is in the hands of God. And we are peeped into it. And we know that in the month of May, there will be a ray of hope. Hallelujah. We want to pray. We want to pray. And the prayer is simple. Make these figures temporal. Make them temporal. Make them subject to change. Let the events of the next few weeks, the next few days, prove that indeed these figures are mere figures. That you are the one that has the handle of reality and the handle of performance. Make it so temporal. Make it so temporal. Make it so temporal that it is of no significance. Make those figures so temporal. Make them temporal. Change them by your great power. Change the figures in Ghana, change the figures in Botswana, change the figures in Kenya. Let it be known that it is temporal. People see it as a death sentence. Hey, one person has been infected in the city. It's a subject, it's a reason for commotion, because those figures, the figure number one person in the territory, seems that the whole territory has been sentenced to darkness. But we say, Lord, let it be temporal. Let it be temporal. Let it be temporal. Let it be temporal.
Let those figures suddenly be revealed as a lie. Yes, because it's subject to change. It's only the word of God that is settled in heaven forever. The figures of coronavirus are subject to change. So spiritual people, don't look upon the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal. 2,800 and something infections, temporal, because they will recover. They will recover. Let the hand of God begin to occasion recoveries. They say 60 were discharged in Lagos. Let more people be discharged. It is temporal. It is temporal. What is permanent, what lasts forever, is the power of God. Yes, we see the situation from the eyes of the power of God, and we know that Corona is already defeated. The world is about to see a display of the sovereignty of our Master. It is temporal. In Makodi, it is temporal. We sentence that person that was infected, the NDLEA officer, we sentence him to quick recovery and healing, because it is temporal. We look not on the things that are seen. It's temporal. He's quickened, he's strengthened, he's made every widow. When they do conduct the next test, they will be found negative. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And so we our confidence is in you. For the things that are seen indeed are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. Your power is eternal. Your kingdom is eternal, a kingdom that cannot be moved. Your glory is eternal. And so, sickness and disease has no foundation. It cannot last forever. You paid the price. You defeated it. And in the eyes of we that have salvation, we know it has no place among us. And we speak as priests. Even our land is to respond to the realities that we experience. And so as your people, we humble ourselves and we pray. We seek your face concerning the liberty of this continent. Heal Africa to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. You may be seated. When the temple of Solomon was to be constructed, there were many technocrats that had to come from different lands in order to use their competencies to achieve the purpose of the building of the house of God. We had strange woodworkers. We had people that could work, that had expertise in the workmanship of bronze, of silver, and of gold. It was a compendium of technocrats that was required to set up that temple. And right now, as we are on the campaign to disciple the nations, we will need all kinds of skilled participants to be present amidst us so that we can maximize all of the possibilities that the grace of God has afforded us. And so, just in case you are listening online right now, we want to really, as a matter of fact, we will like to recommend that you
become a partner with us. And just in case you have decided that already and you have skill either in music production, photography, in cinematography, lighting, software development, website development, video editing, script writing, sound engineering, and data analysis. If you have any form of competence in any of these areas, please indicate to our online pastor so that we can see how we can take advantage of your area of skill to better reposition the initiative of discipling the nations. And if you are not in Nigeria and you are in another country and you are willing to begin an RCN prayer cell in your living room, willing to begin that, you also reach out to us. We are hoping that our generation will pray from the depths of South Africa to the heights of North America, that prayer will become a culture that is part and parcel of our generation. So if you have an apartment that you are willing to make a prayer cell center in your location, you just get across to us. We will take you through the needed training that you need to be able to pioneer such a platform of spiritual ventilation in your locality. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, yesterday we were talking about the ministry of the deacon, the ministry of the waiter, the ministry, helps ministry. We're talking about that, but we did not finish. I'd like to invoke two scriptures quickly so that we can see how important this aspect of ministry is. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. I want to read from verse 36 to verse 39. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, from verse 36 to verse 39. And some days after Paul, said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Next verse now. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Yep. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the walk. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Barnabas took Mark. Paul felt that as a coach, a discipler, a trainer, someone that was dispatched on a mission, maybe because of the difficulty of the mission field, he decided to go a wool. And now they were making plans for another mission. And the one that was not faithful in the last mission was trying to accompany them. And Paul said it was not proper to take this guy. Let him wait until he makes up his mind on what he wants to do in the service of the Lord. And that became an object of great contention. And at the end of the day, Paul and Barnabas split. If you check your Bible critically, from this time that Barnabas splitted from Paul, the name of Barnabas also diminished from the Bible. So Barnabas went with Mark. The training that all the people that stayed back were receiving was an apostolic type of training. Timothy, who was ministering to Paul, He was Paul's minister. He ministered to him. He eventually became a bishop, became inherited an apostolic ministry. People like Titus, he became the bishop of Crete, and he was a young lad but full of grace and wisdom. And he began to set in order the things that were lacking in the city of Crete and to ordain elders. That young lad, because it was apostolic training they were receiving, and they eventually became apostles. You know, Jesus started with disciples. It was the disciples that eventually became the apostles. Right? So this young man was not willing to go through the rigor of the training and departed from the mission field without permission. And now they were going to another mission field, and Paul felt it was not right to take him along. Barnabas felt otherwise, and there was sharp contention. Barnabas left with him. This was the effect of the leaving. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, let's check that quickly. So if in the days where you were serving as a waiter, if in the days where the scope of your engagement, the scope of your ministry was dependent on other people's ministry. I remember those days, I was a very effective usher. Amen. Till this moment, if you push me into the ushering department, you will know that I have experience in it. And those days, those were the days when we ushered, we were praying. It's not just to create order. We were also responsible for conditioning the atmosphere. So I was an usher. And in the days when I was an usher, the seat my pastor normally uses it in the congregation was his office seat that was upstairs. So we'll go up, bring some seats from up, down, and then we'll sweep the place, clean the place, make it ready, and then stand by the door. So we come earlier than most of the people that attend church. And that's what we did. All right? Now, see, this kind of ministry creates a platform for the fivefold ministry offices to function effectively. Now, give me the other scripture quickly. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. Is that the scripture I said? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, is that it? 4 verse 11. Oh, let me use my own Bible so that I can be sure of what we are reading. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11. It says, only Luke is... Okay, let's start from verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. There was another person that was being trained to become an apostle. His name was Demas. But when they entered into a certain village, and the damsels in that village, they were attractive. Demas weighed the burden of the ministry vis-a-vis the possibilities he had with the damsels, and he chose the way of the damsels. And so Paul cried out. He said, for Demas, may you not be Demas. May you, in Jesus' name, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for ministry. Now, I said, if you have a lexicon, click on ministry. When you click on ministry, the word you will see there is diaconia. Diaconia. And diaconia is deacon. Are you with me? Now, his colleagues inherited an apostolic ministry after the discipleship process. But he took off like a tornado. He left his mission field and followed a master that was encouraging him in his error. Many years later, when he was sought after, he was still brought to continue at the deacon level. So you might see that ministry and think, oh, okay, that is... No, it's deacon. For him to continue from where he stopped, he had to come back to that same spot. He did not have the capacity of grace. I need to show you Philip. If we use Philip as a point of contact, you will see that in the first list of deacons that was drawn up, the first name mentioned in the book of Acts chapter 6 was Philip. Do you realize that he was part of those people serving tables? And eventually, when the persecution became strong, Philip found himself in Samaria. In fact, Philip was the only man that was ever called an evangelist in the Bible. By the time he arrived in Samaria, he saw that there was darkness there and he began to try to reach out to the city. But he saw that he had so much capacity to capture the attention of the city. He didn't know the miracle ministry was in his life before that day. That occasion, because he was serving tables, that was what he knew how to do. But as he was serving tables, they were learning from the ways of the apostles, learning from their lifestyle, imbibing their lifestyle. And when occasion demanded, when he released what was inside of him, it was strong enough to take a city. Even the witch doctor that was in that city was no match to Philip, who was previously known to be a deacon. But now he had grown and become an officer. And the office of the evangelist was given to him. And he was a city shaker. That a city shaker. Meanwhile, in the whole story of the advancement of the kingdom that was pioneered by the apostles, this was the guy that first shook a city. Now, on the day of Pentecost, it was not the whole city that was shaken. It was a few people. But this was the account of the guy that first shook a city. He was an evangelist who was previously a deacon. So if you check this system, you will see that the first official platform of service in church life, it is the diaconia. That's the first official platform of service. And at this level, there is so much room. There's so much room at this level. What would determine if you climb higher in the ladder of specialized service is determined by your faithfulness at this level. So, if I had drawn the permutation from the life of Philip, you would have seen the progression. You would have seen from Acts chapter 6 verse 5, you will see him ordained as a deacon. By the time we move to Acts chapter 8, you will see him operating like an evangelist. He was not trained to be an evangelist. He was a functional deacon. And Jesus did not raise evangelists. Jesus did not raise teachers. Jesus did not raise pastors. Jesus did not raise prophets. Jesus only raised apostles. So there was no example of an evangelist that he saw. He was just serving tables. And as he was serving tables as a waiter, that grace called the evangelical grace, because he was admitted into an office, fell upon him. That grace itself has capacity to teach you what to do, how to be. We don't teach you. If you have the teaching grace, nobody teaches you how to teach. The anointing that is upon you will teach you. If you are an intercessor, nobody teaches you how to pray. The anointing that is upon you will begin to drive you. Hallelujah. It will begin to drive you. It will begin to drive you. When we left here and I went home yesterday, I was hungry to tap one revelation. So I scattered the whole place. It is the anointing that is at work in my life that is responsible for that kind of restlessness. And until I find what I'm looking for, there is no rest for me. It's the anointing that makes you like that. Nothing shapes you more than the anointing. Nothing shapes you more. It determines your taste buds, determines your appetites, determines who can be your friend, determines who your enemies are. It determines what you do. It determines what you don't do. It determines who you can marry. The anointing. It will shape your life. It was the anointing that was upon him. That was how the thing gave itself expression. Even though he was not trained to be an evangelist, he received the anointing of an evangelist and he was able to shake a city. Hallelujah. So that's the progression. First of all, people are admitted into the pool of waiters, the pool of men that serve tables. And as they begin to do menial things, begin to do little things. If you notice, Saul, King Saul, first of all, he was sent to look for donkeys. And then as he was looking for donkeys, he didn't know that it was an orchestration. It was an orchestration by God for him to meet the prophet. And when he met the prophet said, okay, for your information, the donkeys you are looking for have been found. That means the reason for which you came here is not the reason why you are here now. Huh? So you might be doing seven tables, because we served as ushers faithfully. We were ushers those days that we come and pray. We will do night vigil before a service. Just so that as people are entering and as we are greeting them, let the anointing come upon them. Let them become teachable. Let their hardened hearts encounter the word of God. We were ushers. What we were doing that people saw was that we were trying to bring order to the place. But before we came to do that thing, we used to do night vigil. Because the proof of ministry is life transformation. If anything you are doing doesn't lead to the transformation of life, that thing is not ministry. The proof of ministry is life transformation. Life transformation. If no lives are transformed, what you are doing is a social gathering. Yes, no life. And we have so many social centers scattered across the globe where people come and get entertained, where people come and take breakfast, people come and receive moral lessons, and no life is changed. Hallelujah. But I hope you know there's only one agency through which transformation can take place. Only one agency. It is only the Holy Spirit that can occasion transformation. So if I claim that what I'm doing is ministry, then I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need to pray so that I can do my ushering business. So that while I'm doing that thing, something supernatural will be happening to the people. And we have had people that walked into that place and they said they didn't know. Nobody invited them. They didn't know what pulled them. It was the prayer. It was the prayer. And most of those people came and got encountered. And meanwhile, one of the most notorious seniors we had in secondary school, very notorious young man, he was naturally wicked. That is, he didn't need to be angry for it. He was his disposition. One of those days I was by the door there as an usher, and the guy walked in, and that was how his life was transformed. And I can tell you the truth, that notorious man eventually even apologized to me that, hey, just in case I was wicked to you, I don't remember, because I was wicked to so many people. So just in case you were among the people I was wicked to, I'm so sorry. I was amazed. But you see, people were being transformed. And he eventually became a pastor in that ministry. But all these things were orchestrated by some impute that took place, which was behind the scene. And we didn't know. How would I have known? I never knew I would be a preacher today. We were so excited seeing people come to church and get transformed. We were praying about it. And we continued praying about it. And we were seeing transformations. We were seeing all kinds of stuff. And we were satisfied with that. I didn't know. I was born in Stamara, so I didn't see pulpit ministry as a possibility. I was so bad with my stammering. So I knew that preaching was not one of the options. But it came to pass. It came to pass. While I was doing my ushering stuff and we're doing the prayer stuff, and then God now put the anointing to teach upon me. Then I went to God. I said, why will you call someone that cannot talk? to become your spokesman. So I took that to him in prayer. I wanted to engage him. And then the scripture that came into my spirit was, as for you, this is the covenant I have with you. I have put my words in your mouth, and in the mouth of thy seed, and in the mouth of thy seed's seed. It's okay. You put your words in my mouth. If God puts his words in my mouth, it means he has a way to bring the words out. That was my consolation. That was what I felt he meant. And from that day, if I come to teach, I will be able to speak. Then when I stop preaching, then the stammering comes back. If I come to teach, I'll be able to speak. I said, okay, that's good for me. At least, I never knew that I was not speaking naturally. I was speaking supernaturally. It took a lot of spiritual energy for my stammering to be conquered. And that I pray for 4 hours to preach. Yes, that was my practice. I pray for 4 hours to preach, because after 4 hours prayer, I notice the tongue will be loose, and I'll be able to teach. The energy I generate just to talk, I didn't know that it also had a power to affect hearts. I didn't know that. I started growing in the teaching anointing. The useless usher man that was by the door, so lanky because of fasting. I didn't never knew I'd become a preacher. But we knew the ways of service. And even till this moment, if there is service on ground, we'll drop this suit, throw it somewhere. We can still do the arrangement. We can still fix the pulpit. We can still fix the stage. And it will not take the anointing away from us. We'll go home and put the suit back. Because we grew in the house of God through the pathway of service. If you find someone that became a preacher without going through this pathway, you will see pride in him. He wants to be served. He makes a mockery of ministry. He makes people backslide so terribly that they don't want to consider church again as an option. Because he's coming there to be served. Because he had never served before. He doesn't have the culture of service in his history. Meanwhile, Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you must, in the kingdom, you must become a servant. And so when we do crusades, I will come out, maybe to help out with one of the things, then evangelist Shala will say, no, we don't want you here, please go away. The reason why I'm coming there is the heart is programmed for service. It is not demeaning to hold speaker on my head. After I finish holding it, people will still be healed. Because that was what I used to do before. May the Lord baptize us with the spirit of service in the name of Jesus. I was talking to some of my younger brothers that I'm entering into the anointing, and they are taking off with the anointing. I said, don't get used to the honor of ministry. Alright? You go to a place, they give you a big room, big hotel. People are coming, greeting you, afraid. They are entering, bringing all kinds of food. Then you say, you don't understand. Don't forget that the reason why you are there is for service. Don't forget. Because at any time you forget, then God will now have to remind you and say, remember when I took you from the sheep coat. There will be a need for you to learn a lesson you learned, you knew before, that you are forgetting because you feel that things have changed. Levels have changed, you know. You are still a servant. It's just that as you grow in grace, as you grow in the anointing, you become a more specialized kind of servant. And the implication of that is, if you make a little mistake, it will affect the body of Christ. Because people believe you. I noticed I went to the tailor. And I said, alright, make a design for me, a unique design. He now looked at his catalog. I said, what design have you not made for people? I want it. You know that stuff I used to wear that I had two. That's how I came up with that. And when I came up with that, and I said, wow, this is fine, because he made just one for me. I went back again, I said, make 5. So you now made 5 different colors. So people now started seeing that, that's my brand. Do you know how many people made that thing? Oh, so I now saw that if I make a mistake, that's how they will copy me. I knelt down before God in tears. Yes. So that is what will happen. They didn't come to ask me, how did you make it? When they just saw it, and it started raining. So I now stopped wearing it. Because as you begin to serve and you become credible, when you become accredited, people will copy you. There's nothing you teach that they will not copy you. If you say, let's follow Jesus, they will still copy you. When God brings you to that place of honor, where he allows men to see you and follow you as you are following Christ, then you must be very, very careful. Even the way you use your speech, immediately, especially after the anointing, when you have had a mighty meeting, so many healings, and people want to worship you, make sure you choose your words deliberately. Not to give them any notion that you are not more, that you are more than. Don't give any notion that suggests that you are more than a servant. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us.
In the name of Jesus. Number three, the ministry of teaching. Romans chapter 7. Quickly. Romans chapter 7. The ministry of teaching. Romans chapter 7. 12 verse 7. Romans 12 verse 7. Quickly. Romans chapter 12 verse 7.
What does it say there? Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. So the admonition that is given to people that are serve tables is wait on your ministry. Like what you are doing. Don't desire any other thing else. Be preoccupied by it. Let it be that it is a new allocation of grace that will change your job description, not that you desire something else. Say, wait on your ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. He that teacheth on teaching. Now, the first thing I need to establish here is that the fact, are you still with me? The fact that you have the grace to teach does not mean you are called into the office of the teacher. The teaching that is spoken about here, there's a difference between teaching and the office of a teacher. So I want to differentiate between the office of a teacher and the grace for teaching. Someone might have a very loud grace for teaching and is not called into the office of the teacher. You know, we are talking about the ministry of the believer. We are not talking about officers, people that have offices. We are talking about people that are empowered by grace. There is a grace to teach. There is a grace to teach. Now, are you with me?
Yes.
Alright. Like me now, me that you are seeing, I am called into the office of the apostle. I have the teaching grace, I have the prophetic grace, I have the evangelical grace operational in my life. Alright? Pastoral grace, that's how I was trained. We're trained to be pastors. So I don't mention that one. That's a given. Alright? So, because of my office, I can operate in any of the platforms. Now, but I need to tell you that apostles, no two apostles are the same. It is your combination of giftings and the measure of the grace that you carry, as the case may be, that determines how your expression is. Now, the strongest anointing on my life is the teaching anointing. That means in my apostolic combination, I am more in the teaching office than I'm in the other offices. So, if I call myself a teacher, I think I'm still correct. Right? I will show you the difference between this, my own oppression, and someone that has the grace to teach. There is a calling. There is an official calling to teach, and there are commensurate responsibilities that is attached to the office of a teacher, which is not available in the grace of teaching. Come with me. Let us trace this teaching thing before we go to teacher. Teaching first before teacher. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2
verse 2. Teaching grace. The teaching grace does not make you a teacher. A teacher has the teaching grace. Are you with me? A teacher has the teaching grace, but the teaching grace doesn't make you a teacher. That's what I'm saying. It's just like a seer is a prophet, but not every prophet is a seer. Once you are a seer, you are a prophet. But not every prophet is a seer. Yes. So, one called into the teaching office has the teaching grace, but not everybody that has the teaching grace is a teacher. This is Paul speaking in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. He said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. They commit them to faithful men. And these faithful men are committing it to. Don't necessarily need to be in the teaching office. But what qualifies them to receive the oracles of these things you are teaching is that they were faithful. So you commit it to them so that it will be their responsibility to teach others also. In the body of Christ, there's supposed to be an established chain of capacity building grace from generation to generation, so that anything that God releases into the body of Christ in a certain generation will never be lost until the end of time. But what we have today is that so many giftings, so many anointings come into generations and we cannot find a trace of them. Thank God for people like Benny Hinn that was able to track down the dimensions that he found in the life of Catherine Kuma. That's how it's supposed to be in every generation. But especially in Africa, you will hardly see. I saw that challenge when Idahosa died. Oh, the vacuum was. Is this worse or is? Okay. Maybe, let's say, Idahosa's son is very, very far. He is our father in the whole. In Benue State here, I used to know an evangelist, Reverend Dr. Godwin Keno. You need to get his tapes and listen to him. His voice was sweet as if they put honey in his voice. There is no way that man will preach to you that you will not give your life to Christ. I don't know what God gave him. He knows how. Oh God. He was a model preacher. Meanwhile, Godwin Kenu could teach. A teaching grace on him. And that was why it was convenient for him to pastor and train and build capacity. He had a teaching grace on him, but he was an evangelist. Meanwhile, I need to tell you something. What a teacher, the one called into the office, what he can do that you cannot do with teaching grace. I need to show you the difference. Are you with me? Alright. Say the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men, who shall teach what? Others also. So the span, this training span is for four generations. Things you have heard of me, that's generation of Paul. You have heard it of me. Committed to faithful men, third generation, that will teach others also, fourth generation. So the impact of what I did at least should travel for four generations. At least. And if the chain is not broken, it travels forever. Because when I'm done and I leave the scene, Ogbe will come and take my place. And it's the same things I taught him, plus the one he has discovered that he will not. It is therefore you will now see that generations, subsequent generations should be operating at the higher levels of excellence. Because what I gave you plus what you have, the momentum should be stronger. But in our own case, it dies. You know why? Because the teaching grace is absent. The teaching grace is the grace through which we can pass legacies from generation to generation. You can see a very powerful man, but there's nobody that has factored the dimension of grace that is upon his life. Great men have passed. Great men have passed and gone. And we cannot see a trace of their sojourning upon the face of the earth because they did not tap into the technology of the teaching anointing. And that's why when I see someone that is a preacher and you are very powerful and people like you, I normally call you aside. I say, Oga. And I will not say it for long. I will just say, Oga, this thing you are doing, you are very powerful and you like it. You will not raise one person. You say, why are you exalting this or teaching thing too much? I say, I know how legacies are established in the body of Christ. I met a preacher, a very powerful preacher. When he begins to preach, everybody is standing up. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Then I called him. I said, this thing you are doing, you enjoy it, Abi? When you are old, you will know you are wrong. Come with me. Let's go and study the Bible. When we finish studying, begin to teach, stop shouting. When you went to the university, where your lecturer shouting on you, he said, that's how the grace in me is working. I said, that's what you think. You can be a preacher, but if you meet me, you will teach. So that's what I'm telling you. I have contagious teaching ability. Thank God he heard me. He's more older than I am. And he's hearing me now. He now started teaching. When he now got into that teaching grace, because he has an apostolic calling, but the teaching angle was closed because he was enjoying preaching. So I told him, you will not raise anybody. When you are old, you will know you are wrong. He now began to teach. And then the teaching grace now opened. The cork of teaching was removed. Now he can't preach again. But his life has raised many people. The way we transfer legacies in the body of Christ is through teaching. That's why I say, you can be a prophet too. Do your prophetic thing. You must teach. The reason why I know you must teach is because God sent you to me. If he didn't want you to teach, you would not be here. I've seen someone just came say, hey, what is that? Okay, when you finish doing that, what have you done? What's the meaning of that? That's not how we transfer legacies. As you're shouting, people can be saying, hey, amen. Hallelujah. Hey. Nothing is happening. The things that you have heard of me. Now, listen to me. I'm not downplaying the preaching anointing. We preach in the majors too. When you teach small, the fire will enter you, will preach. Don't preach 2 hours. That's my own problem. Don't preach. If you are preaching 2 hours, you are only using one hand. I hope you know, because when we go further, you will find out that part of the evidences of Christian maturity is that you have the ability to teach, irrespective of office. I will show you the requirements for bishops. He must be apt to teach, and that's not whether or not he's a teacher. He must be apt, ready to teach. That's how our legacies are passed from generation to generation. So I need to show us the difference between the teaching anointing and the office of a teacher. Every one of us has a little deposit of teaching. If you have been faithful in the kingdom of God, there is a little deposit of teaching that you have that you can exploit. I've been around. And then you see people that have been in church for long, then you test them with a few Bible questions. They don't know anything. The reason is because they were not taught. So we need teachers badly. Alright, you can do a chart. The teaching office and the teaching grace. Or if you want us to do teaching office first and then do teaching grace subsequently, anyone that works for you. The first thing that a teaching anointing does is that it brings clarity in the areas of doctrinal controversy. That's the office. It brings clarity
in the areas of doctrinal controversy. Give me Ezekiel chapter 44 from verse 23 to 24. This is the scripture God gave me when he coronated me a corrective teaching agent in the body of Christ. It's not every teacher that's a corrective teacher. I am a corrective teacher. And my mandate for corrective teaching is what I am showing you here. Ezekiel chapter 44. One called into the office of a teacher has the capacity to bring clarity in areas of biblical controversy. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. That is, you know, are you with me? You know, these days we have a situation in the body of Christ where walking in holiness looks like an obsolete kind of subscription. The seeming accurate image of an effective Christian in our own generation is somebody that has a good car and has a lot of cash to spend, because the emphasis that we have held in the body of Christ in the past 35 years is in the area of prosperity, success, and motivation. So that means that the idea of who a Christian is in the light of our emphasis is a guy that has cash to throw around. Those kind of emphasis that is not consistent with kingdom advance in your heart and kingdom advance that your life can bring, those kind of emphasis are what we call distractions. They are doctrinal diseases. It is only a teacher that has the grace to identify a doctrinal disease. Oh, you don't believe that there's a doctrinal disease? Let me show you. But first, let me show you this first one first. Then I will show you what a doctrinal disease is. And most people are victims of doctrinal diseases. Kwashoko is the description of people's spiritual condition, because a true teacher called into the office, they did not encounter one. How many of you have touched Miles Morrow's spoken ministry? You know that the man knows what he's saying. He can start on any subject. The man does what? He knows what he's saying. He has the anointing to impart knowledge. Mike Robo, you are a great preacher. Teach. Sit down. That fire you used to preach, you don't need so much of it to start teaching. You need inspiration and wisdom. The fire will come later. I assure you, it will not diminish your capacity. You need to develop some patience with the scripture. The scripture is like a snail. You need to be patient with it before it comes out. Don't go too quickly. Touch it. It will come out. Be patient. If not, you'll be such a powerful man, and when your time is up, you wonder. You went around the world 7 times. By the time you are 87, say, I went around the whole world 7 times. My bones are aching from missions. And then when you look at the world you labored in, try to find yourself. That was what made me take teaching seriously. I used to take off like a tornado too. I don't see. When you begin to think of legacy, your strategy will change. Meanwhile, the fire is not less than what it used to be. We are just more effective and will bring more profit to the kingdom of God. Where is my scripture? Ezekiel chapter 44:23. He said, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Next verse.
And in controversy, there shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge according to my judgment. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. You see, in controversy, they shall stand and judge. There is a grace that God gives a teacher to be able to judge truth by spiritual discernment. So these are the inner workings of the teaching office. You can judge that thing that the Bible calls rightly dividing the word of truth, is the ability to discern the balance of truth. They don't teach you that. It's the teaching anointing that teaches you. That's the inner working of the office. You have authority to be able to bring clarity so that you can differentiate between the profane and the holy. The person that has the teaching anointing can't do this. This is an office. This is a function. It's an officer that can do that. Have you ever seen those days? There is a product we have which is called What the Bible Say. You see, remember that product? Anytime a false doctrine begins to come into the body of Christ, I can't sleep. God doesn't trouble everybody when there's false doctrine in the body of Christ. He troubles me. Somebody came the other day and said they died, they went to hell, and these were the messages they got from hell. And then they printed pamphlets and printed CDs and began to distribute. And because the church was untaught, were an infantile church. So when every wave of doctrine comes, there is no truth to test it. So people's wives began to shave their hair. That those were the messages that came from the underworld. Say, okay. If God wanted us to receive messages from the underworld, the first apostle of that order would have been Lazarus. He was there for 4 days. Lazarus would have come up with a pamphlet. Oh, he would have arisen with a pamphlet. I know that's not strong enough. Have you? Should I do that? Do you remember in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4? That Paul said that I know a man either in this flesh or in the spirit, I cannot tell. This man was taken to paradise, and this man was taken to the third heavens. Now let me tell you about the universe. Paradise is beneath. Hell is beneath. The earth is in the middle, and heaven is above. So that guy that saw paradise, are you following? You are not following. Should I come again? When a man dies, he goes down. You want me to show you from the Bible? You know, okay, you want me to show you. All right. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans Are you there in Romans 10? Okay, verse 7. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. So when you die, you go into the deep. That place called the deep in Hebrew is called Sheol. In Greek, it's called Hades. It's a waiting hall. It's a place for departed spirits. How many of you have ever boarded a plane? There is a waiting hall. When you finish all the screening, you finish everything, the identification, you pass through security screening, you come and sit in a waiting hall waiting for the plane. So when we are done with the stage of this line, you are going to go into a waiting hall. And the waiting hall has two apartments, according to the book of Luke chapter 16.
there is an apartment called Gehenna. It is a place of torment. That's what we call hell. There is another apartment called paradise. And these two apartments put together, it is Hades. Hades has two apartments, Gehenna and paradise. Is that clear? Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, he was speaking to that criminal and he told the guy, today you will be with me. Where? They were going down. Are you there? Good. This down that they went, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, everybody that went down, when God took Paul down, it was down he went, it was paradise he went to, that the Bible says he heard things that were unlawful for men to utter. So the things you will see in Hades, it is not lawful for you to come to this earth and utter them, according to the scriptures. Because if God wanted it, he had someone that was there for 4 days, even Lazarus. He would have become an end time preacher. Maybe he would have had a handbill. I saw it all. When Paul went there, he saw things that were not lawful for him to utter. And just in case that is not convincing enough, it was Abraham that told the rich man that they have Moses and the prophets. That if they don't believe Moses and the prophets who are preaching to them today, even if someone rises from the dead, they will not believe it. So I did a teaching to respond to that thing that was going on, that it didn't come from God. I know they heard something, but it wasn't God. And I didn't call their name because I don't even know them. When their tapes stop selling, their magazines stop selling, their pamphlets stop selling, and they now called me to now curse me, that you are cursed among all men. And the more they cursed me, the more I exploded. That means the curse didn't work. I was in the jurisdiction of my office. When you are in your office and somebody comes to persecute you, you are promoted. Hallelujah. Alright, so you understand what I'm talking about. So the teacher has the grace to be able to clarify areas of controversy. He has the anointing for precision. He has the capacity to rightly divide the word of truth. Two, the teacher has the skill to establish doctrine. He is the teacher that establishes doctrine and sets in motion our belief system. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Hallelujah. I know the anointing of a teacher, so I can talk about it. I know the anointing. More than any other anointing, I know the anointing of a teacher. He said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of the things from the very first, to write to thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. He was saying that it was a raining thing for people to talk about Jesus to people, because it was raining. Everybody was talking about, people are claiming that he's resurrected. So it was big news. It was on this day. It was on Punch. It was on Guardian. And everybody had their own story to tell, from different perspectives that was suitable to their own world view. But this guy was speaking because he was chattered. He said, we received the lively oracles of the truth from them that were eyewitnesses and ministers of the world. Are you following? He's saying, I'm chattered. We received these truths from people that were eyewitnesses. What I'm telling you is, I'm telling you things that has authority. I saw the people that saw him rise from the dead. I saw them. So I don't know the other sources. Many people have taken it in hand to talk about these things, but I am credible because I am a prodigy. I am a product of those ones that were eyewitnesses. That's number one. Then number two, I have perfect understanding from the very first. So those are the two engineerings, inner workings. You don't just wake up to become a teacher. You must grow in a place where they teach. You receive the teaching grace like a baton. You will have to receive it from somebody. And that's why I'm saying, if God brought you my way, then you have to be diligent, because God wants you to be able to teach. I may not be able to drag you into the office, but I can ensure that you start operating in the grace. Only God allocates and decides who will operate as an officer. But I can tell you that I have received something from Jehovah enough to say that if you are with me, you will teach. Because I will commit to you to teach faithful men. Is that clear? So this guy was credible. He had the capacity to set our belief system in order. The teaching anointing supplies the capacity, the excellent capacity of being able to set forth doctrine in a proper sequence, so that our belief system will be adequately established among the people of God. Number four. It is through the teaching office that doctrinal diseases can be cured from the body. Doctrinal diseases. Doctrinal diseases. I'm coming. Doctrinal diseases. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 17. 2 Timothy 2:17. Let me show you some doctrinal diseases. Alright, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Let's start from 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So if you want to develop the teaching grace, you must be a man of study. And surprisingly, even when you study, normally you become approved before people. But this kind of study he's talking about is a study that makes you approved unto God. I don't have time for that. You know, when if your message is well researched, the people say, "Oh man, this guy is tough. This guy is." But the issue here is not to be approved before your congregation, but approved unto God. That's for another day. Okay. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, and that's the skill of teaching, which is frankly dividing the word of truth. It takes it takes the inner discernment of the working of the anointing for you to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You will know it inside how it should be. Do you understand? You will know it by discernment inside how it should be. And if you are sitting under wrong teaching too, you will know it inside that this thing is not. So it's that skill. There is something, an instrument that is at work inside of your heart through the Holy Ghost that makes you know how to strike the balance. And there's nothing as sweet as balanced preaching. It's just like having a balanced diet. You know that you are enjoying. When you wake up after, you stand up after good teaching, it's so wonderful. You know yourself that you are enjoying. Alright? Go with me. Next verse, quickly. Let me run away. My time. Oh, my time is up. Hallelujah. He said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they shall increase unto more ungodliness. It means that a man can claim to be teaching, and then the fruit of what he is teaching in the lives of the people is ungodliness.
in a certain congregation that one of us went to preach. A young lady came and threatened the man's wife and told her, I will deal with you, because he had an affair with the man's wife, the man's husband, and she was even bold to go and threaten the wife. That was the kind of church that they were running. And when that preacher, who is one of us, went to that assembly, the pastor now said, he has preached all he knows how to preach, but there is immorality here. Like, it is vain and vain wives' fables that he was preaching. When that preacher had the first session, the first teaching, that lady came and apologized to the man's wife that she's very sorry for that threat. Transformation has started. Your message can't change anybody. It's the Holy Ghost. Your message gave the Holy Ghost an opportunity for him to begin to do his specialty. And the lady went back to, and the pastor asked that preacher, what have you done that these people, may we never come to a point where we are totally incapacitated and we accept a beggarly ministry just because we're unable to deliver accurate transformational ministry. Verse 17, as I run away, he said, their word doth eat as what? Their word will eat as doth a canker. That's where I got that doctrinal disease from. It is only the office of the teacher that can heal the body of Christ of the impact of a doctrinal disease. The teacher, he has that grace. Their words doth eat as a canker. He mentioned their name. Please give me their name. Because some people say, hey, why did I mention this preacher's name? See, Paul, I learned it from Paul. He said, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He mentioned the people's name that they preached a wrong resurrection. And made shipwreck of the faith of men. He mentioned them. Do you know that I have authority as a teacher? If I'm accurate in the spirit and it's not out of jealousy, I can actually mention a preacher's name, that this one, in my capacity as a teacher, this one has wandered out of alignment. I should be able to make such recommendations. It was here I said, listen to me. I preached. I said, listen to me. That man you call T.B. Joshua is not even born again before we talk of his being a prophet. You know why I'm mentioning it? It's part of my job. So when I now mention that a person has sent me a text that you cannot kill that man, I knew that this one too has joined Balaam. It took many years. When I said that thing, people thought he was a man of God. Meanwhile, I say the God that I serve, he holds me responsible for truth. Do you understand? Oh, you don't understand. What works in me, the name is called the Spirit of Truth. I can't rest if there's error. I can't rest. It's the Spirit of Truth. So when I mentioned it, the pastor started saying, who are you? How many people are you pastoring? Because you see, these days, your credibility as a pastor is the people that you are gathering. Whether what you are using to gather the people came from a graveyard is not the matter. But if people are gathering, it's a sign that something is happening. On the Isle of Patmos, John had no congregation. But the message that he released was for the universal church. What kind of prophet was that? No congregation.
Who come on, how many churches did Bonke plant? Of all the souls that every crusade that Bonke does can start a mega city church. Where is the building that Paelton built to gather a congregation?
So they now said, what kind of, what congregation do you have for you to make such a statement? They didn't know that it was part of the duties of my office to protect the body of Christ from being deceived. And I say this in the capacity of a teacher, is what I'm saying. I will tell you, when I begin to teach on the offices, and I teach you on the office of the apostle, I will tell you things in the capacity of an apostle. Today I speak as a teacher. And it is part of my duty to the body of Christ to point out error. And when I point it out and the whole world rises against me, that's when you will know I'm called. The one that sent me, that's when you will know his power on my life. It's not as if we go around pointing people and calling names. There are some that God will insist that you must call. So after the pastor sent me that message, obviously it was, because he can't send the message if he has not been patronizing him. Until his spirit became dry. It is not a problem if a believer's spirit is dry, but if a pastor's spirit is dry, he should stop pastoring. But you see, we pastors in Africa are not humble enough they are not sincere enough. You should stop. Because that thing you are doing is no longer pastoring. You are exposing the people that believe in you. Because the anointing is what feeds us. That's our lifeline. And it's dry. The people are exposed. Then one day, after about how many years? 6 years, the pastor now came here. We were praying. It was not a service. So we're just praying. One of those days that chief called us for prayer. So we're just praying. So he came like a big man. He held his Bible like that. I was praying. He came to me and said, I'm just here to see you now. I said, sorry, we are busy. You can see we are so busy. And I said that in a deliberate to test his pride. Then he just... That's a man that is dry, looking for ventilation. Not humble enough. His wilderness journey is prolonged. The first thing I learned from God before I could carry the teaching mantle was revelation and pride cannot work together. Because knowledge will puff up. Yes, I went to the school of humility to learn. And I saw that man. I knew he was heading for nowhere. Then when I preached in Europe and came back, I saw his text message. Hey, man of God, where? I knew they were looking for occasion. Me, I was looking for an opportunity to serve Jesus. We will not end in the same place. My time is up. There's so much to say about. Then tomorrow I will show you what the teaching grace does. My charge to you tonight is, in all thy getting, be a teacher. That's my charge. In all thy getting, make sure thy teacher can expound the truth of God. So a teacher is called as an instructor and a capacity builder to the body of Christ universal. Now, if you hear the voice of a teacher and you take it to China, it will bless people. It will take it to Morocco, it will bless people. Do you understand? It is a universal voice. It's not localized, it's universal. It's a high office. And without it, a curse will come upon the church. I'd like us to pray. The prayer I'm hoping we'll pray today, I pray you pray it well. The prayer is that the Lord should open this scripture, this Bible to us. Open it. It was David that said, open my eyes that I may behold wonders out of your law. Meanwhile, in the teaching anointing, I've grown from stage to stage before I came to the level where I can do corrective teaching ministry. I didn't start this way. I grew in the ranks. And I have referees that can testify of my growth in the office as a teacher. I have referees. I have great referees that can say, yes, we know this one. So I'm not just speaking. No. Heaven and earth will bear witness. We want to pray that God will make us behold wondrous things out of his law. Out of his law. Out of his law. Maybe you are here today and you are called into that teaching office. How that God will so bless you with wisdom, and through your ministry you will be able to heal the body of Christ of doctrinal diseases. Doctrinal diseases. Believers begin to behave funny when there is false doctrine. They behave funny. I don't want to say some things. When there is false doctrines, we behave funny. It will take someone that is licensed to in controversy. He shall stand and judge according to his judgments. Let us pray and ask that God will cause us to see wondrous things out of his law. Wondrous things. Wondrous. Wondrous things. That God will cause it. God. Isaito compre zavila mahala compre. Mancos quiso selo copresco vilata mina cadiata. Endorobo santoria, kiparebo sebregete. Mandorobo sica brasketoria branta babori macabria. Abresco vela, ico salabata, ico bregama. Antala baboria, iso brosco focomoto monocoria tababalaita compela, so is Hymenus and Philetus. The teaching office is an instrument by which God purges. A people can be living in error for 36 years, and it comes with three scriptures, and there's purging. The foundation of a certain ministry is purged. If the leaders are humble, they will be delivered. Error can last for generation to generation, but the carrier of a spirit of truth will show up on the scene and there is purging. Purging. The eyes of men. Part of what God has sent us to do in the body of Christ is a very comprehensive and hybridized protocol of purging, so that the stranglehold of falsehood and doctrinal diseases that have bedeviled the church and given the devil a platform to operate from, to beguile us and bind us, will be taken away. For in thy light we shall see light. Michael Morobosi, Mama. Open up. Let me call on thee. Open up. Channels of my spirit. Open up.
I am with the Father. Open up. No boundaries, only me. Open up. Let him pour unto me. Open up.
In the next 10 minutes, I want to raise the prayer point and then we are going to push it. Prayer is the tool by which you digest the menu and the meal that is served from this platform. Prayer is the most critical ingredient by which you digest the menu properly. So I want you to take this prayer point and then you are going to pray. There was a time that the need to advance the counsel of God amidst the Israelites became too enormous beyond Moses, that God asked Moses to bring the 72 elders and that he was going to take of the spirit that was upon him. He didn't say, I will take from the spirit. He said, I will take of the spirit that is upon you and put it upon all of them. So it is possible that the spirit, the same spirit, in impact, in effect, in influence, and in manifestation that is upon our Father, it is by biblical precedence, it is possible for the same spirit to be transferred upon us. Amen. So 70 of them came and two persons were not around, but the Bible says when the spiritual Wi-Fi was opened, Moses was the hotspot from where the Wi-Fi was opened. And then all the other persons, that their Bluetooths were opened, the spirit was transferred upon them. And even the two other guys that were not around for whatever reason, the Bible says the spirit rested upon them. So that is why we are very convinced that even those that are far away in the end of the earth, there is no distance in the spirit. So we are going to pray, and the prayer is this. Lord, take by the precedence that is established in the scripture, at the instance of what you did to Moses, we come on that ground. That is the premise. It is on that premise that we are bringing this application. Take of the spirit that is upon your servant, because He brought us to this place to take of what is upon him to put upon us. So we are going to pray. You will tell the Lord, Lord, I am available. So my life is available to you. You will sing that song softly at the background while we pray the prayer. So pray and tell the Lord, Lord, I am available. My life is available. I am open to you. I am ready to be mentored. I am ready to be taught. I am ready to be discipled. I am ready to be trimmed. I am ready to be pruned. I am ready to be made. So take of that spirit and put it upon me, for I am available. So can we rise up? Can we pray now, dear people of God, those that are right here in the parliament and the other beautiful brethren that are scattered all over the world, please open your mouth and pray the prayer along that line, telling the Lord that you are available, telling the Lord that you are desirous, telling the Lord that you have an incurable appetite for what he has placed upon his servant, and that you desire it with which you can advance the counsel of God within your own sphere. So can we open our mouth and pray that prayer? Lariandos kenta brotos soto like to paruta kenta brotos koto like to baruta kenta brotos koto mina santo lefredis kanto baruta shalimina santo lefredis kanto baruta kenta brotos koto like kanto baruta kenta lebruta skuta lefredis kanto abruta skuta lefredis kanto porotos koto lekledis kanto baradia Lariandos kenta brotos soto like to paratos koto mina santo lefredis kanto baruta kenta brotos koto mina santo lefredis kanto baruta kenta broto Rantos kenta brotos koto likledish kanto barutas kenta brotos koto likledish kanta la brutas kuta lefredita bridia. Rata pata 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 poto pato pata lita proto poto pato pata lita proto pato pata luta suta la bruta. Rato pata puta poto pato pata lita proto poto pato rata sita lita proto soto liketo barato sata liketo barato sato. Rando sata like to barato sata like dito barato sata like dish canto baruta skinta brontos koto mina santo le fredisco. Ranto skonto brontos koto like dish canto baruta skinta brontos koto le dish canto baruta skinta pro. Rato poto poto pato pata lita proto pato pata lita proto poto pato pata lita proto pato poto lito proto poto barato sata like to barato sata. Radiantos koto mina santo lefredis kanto barutas kenta brentos koto mina santo lefredis kanto barutas kenta brontos koto mina santo. Rantos kenta brontos koto likledis kanto barutas kenta brontos koto likanto barutas kenta brontos koto liklanta bru. Ranto proto soto like teke preke toko zaka toko proto soto. Rato proto soto like teke preke toto. Rato proto poto pato pata luta pruta paradoski. Rantos kenta brete soto mina santo lefredisco. Bariantos kenta la bruta skuta lekledis kanta la bruta. Bariantos kenta brete soto like to baratos koto lekledis kanta la bru. Lariandos kenta brontos koto lekledis kanto barutas kenta brudia. Barigas kenta la bruta skuta lekledis kanto brontos koto lekledisco. Rato proto parato soto like to baratu. Larigas kanta brete soto lekledisca. Reto poto poto parato soto. Rato poto poto parota soto lato proto poto. Rato poto poto parota pata patupa tupa. Rato poto poto pato pata patupa tupa. Rato poto poto pato pata patipa tapa tupa. Rato poto poto pata pata patupa. Radita pata pata pati pata palita proto poto parato. Rato poto poto parota suta la puta suta le fredisco. Ranto skenta proto parato. Rato proto poto parato. Rato proto poto patu. Roto poto poto patu. Proto poto poto. Rato poto poto patu. Laita bridi gadiato. Inteke preke teke zizi. Danto taperi anto zizeni. Inteke pakari dosketa pri. Inta predi anto skenta predida. Elita pratidi daitani kesi. Radina zuzenito te paradiato, enta lige brecotia, in cateno casidiato, into paradi diato zike, erita diando zeclando yate, elite teni gascatenia, rando kete latute tidia, latita diato perina, inta predinito seke, radiato secledina, etelina gascato, into capeperelia duzi, eridianta zalabandi, eriato tabandi.
Kandekonia, Ikanto Paparala Dita, Elika Sokle Diatomina, Radiniato Tabina, Interpredina Zuzeni, Erika Tobaralantania, Izantos Kontolobita, Rato Paparala Diza, Itapratos Kotorianto, Rantos Konto Predis Kantoba, Eritos Kentala Protos Konto, Rantos Kontolo Protos Konto, Ratos Ketabridiato, Ratos Sotoliketoba, Rato Protopoto Parato, Resecreto Porotozila, Irantos Kentala Bruta, Lerigas Konto Prediato, Zato Protopotopoto, Rato Protopoto Parato, Zato Protoparatiska, Interprediato Siki, Radita Bila Late, Radita Brita Padia. Radita brida bada lita bila, kadita brita bado lite kodia, radita mina gata litu, ranto zike teni bari, laruda zinia, inte predinu, into protoburia, inta la lalabadiza, erida dell'alanto seco, eruta tanta la lalagazila, erita dizi antoma, ilonte prekedizia, retina zuzeni, ilanto penua, eruda zila, iredo zike, eroto siku, Rato soku, rako toku, riko toku, riko to parotu, iloto protopotu, rato proto sotoria, reko toku paradoze, riketonda labaduza, ilento zako paradia, erita dina zatabu, ilonto predita zila, rato seketeke, reko toku proto, rato poto parade, rato skenta prudia, redina zuzanita, rato seke, radita bila, larika seli, redita bila, Lord, I am ready to be discipled. Lord, I am ready to be mentored. Lord, I am ready to be made. Lord, I desire what is upon your servant. Lord, I open my heart. Lord, I open my mind. Lord, I open my spirit. Bring the same impartation upon me. Bring the same impartation. Bring the same transfer. The transfer of grace. The transfer of mantle. The transfer of capacity. The transfer of the same spirit. The very spirit, oh God, that you have placed upon your servant. The very spirit of teaching, the very apostolic spirit, the various dimensions, the various outlets, the energy, the force, the reality and the component and the diversities and capacities of that spirit in all its forms and facets. Lord, let it come upon me and let it occasion, O God, an oppression that is consistent with your ordination, for which is in your mind and for which you brought me to this place. I know you brought me here for impartation. I know you brought me here for transfer. I know you brought me here for an encounter. I know you brought me here to be made. Lord, make me by the workings of this spirit, by the workings of this grace, by the workings of this mantle, make me into one. Make me into what you have in mind before you brought me here. Make me into what you have in mind before you connect me to this place. Make me into what you have in mind before you make me a son in this place. Make me. Lariko seke. Lariko seke liko toko proko toko. Sato soto like teke proto. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. This prayer point just dropped on my mind and I will raise it so that we pray it as a concluding part of the prayer. We are also going to pray. There are many of us that have received various faith and various measures of what is in the life of God's servant already. Various form. But it is one thing to receive something and it is another thing to have grace to go through the protocol, the gestation period that is needed. There is a grace. There is a mystery that is responsible for gestation, and there is a mystery that is responsible for birth. The Bible says, will I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? That means the power that keeps the pregnancy is different from the power that we cause to bring forth. So as soon as pregnancy is done, there is another power that is activated to occasion delivery. So we are going to pray and tell the Lord that the impartation we have received so far, even as we are demanding more, let him help us not to abort process. Amen. And let him also help us not to be deprived of the manifestation. A friend of mine told me a vision he had concerning me while I was the day of my statutory
wedding. He said he saw that a garment, one of apostles' garment, was given to me, and it was a compendium of all the various kind of apostles' garments. This one, you know, maybe one of his clothes that is blue. The blue portion is here, the yellow portion is here, but the thing is sweetly blended, fine-tuned and blended together. So sometimes I began to wonder, if that is the case, why am I not seeing? So sometimes I pray, I say, Lord, can you let me know exactly what is wrong? Can you speak to me plainly so that I will know what is wrong and how to do it? And I've been praying that prayer for long. So I want us to pray. There are many of us that are receiving impartation, and it must not be lost. Amen? So I don't know the prayer point you have made from what I have said, but I want you to pray and tell the Lord that all that you have received, let Him bring you to a manifestation of it. Is the prayer point clear now? So can we begin to pray? Can we begin to pray now? Lord, bring me into the reality of all the impartation that I have received so far. Bring me into the reality. Bring me into the manifestation. Bring me into the reality, into the tangible reality of all the impartations that I have received. The impartation of power, the impartation of intelligence, the impartation of dexterity and articulation, the impartation of fervency and flaming, the flaming dimension, the fervent dimension, the restless dimension, the unquenchable dimension, the intelligent dimension, the articulate dimension, the revelatory dimension, the power dimension, and all the various dimensions of it. Lord, please bring me through into the reality of this manifestation. My life is available to you. My life is available to you. Can we worship the song with this song together as a round up? While we worship God with this song, and if you are following us online, take advantage of the information on the screen and participate in the offering. By 3 p.m. West African time, we'll reconvene here. And for now, we wish to adjourn. And then by 3 o'clock, we'll reconvene for this high-temperatured transmission. We are very convinced that your life will never remain the same by the time you are through with this season. Thank you for tuning in, and see you tomorrow again by 3 p.m. West African time. And until then, take care and have a great day.
My life is available to you.